Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat,
beat.
We get beat,
beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in. Thursday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. It's Christmas, New Year's, birthday, anniversary. What else is important? I don't know. Kind of nailed them. It's like that for many of you. Day one of the NFL draft, we'll spend some time localizing how it relates to Nebraska. And you're like, come on, you've seen the projections. Not many Huskers expected to go. That may be. Doesn't mean they can't have careers. So we'll get into that. Mojo Hagee, our discussion with him. Husker outfielder, that today. We will spend time telling you about an amazing golf tournament, a chance to donate and raise funds for Team Jack. Eddie Hoffman going to be with us at 4:40. And then in hour two, had a chance to meet Mitch Holtis last night with the KFOR, KLMS Sportscasters Club Banquet. Mitch, an amazing speaker. If you're a sports fan, you've heard his calls as play-by-play man of the Chiefs. If you're not a Chiefs fan, that's okay. This guy's incredible. We'll talk some NFL draft with Mitch Holtis in hour two. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line if you so choose. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. That's the layout. We'll dive into the draft. It'll be on many of your Hail Varsity affiliates at 6 o'clock.
And some breaking news with that draft right now.
Right? You have Myles Garrett going to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. All indications towards Garrett, which if I'm a Cleveland fan, I would take that over the guy they were thinking of taking.
Yes.
Just opinion.
We'll get into that. Well, that's what we're going to start off next hour with.
Mm-hmm.
Who you got? I love it because there's two position groups I'm thrilled and interested in, quarterback and running back this draft. You and I will sword fight a bit.
Yeah.
Because there's some guys, TJ's all giddy about who the Vikings can maybe enhance their team with.
Or Dolphins.
That's true. That's true. I've just given up. Just hand the ball to Sue. That's what I say.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad option.
We'll get into it here, but I want to ask you this, and you brought this up in the pre-production meeting. Is this a bucket list event? Is this something you'd spend money to go see the NFL draft? And listen, forever it's always been in New York, Chicago last year. It's in Philly this year. All reports are everyone's having a good time in Philly. Philly fans are rabid, intense,
yes,
passionate, extremely loyal, and the stereotype ends with loud and obnoxious.
Yeah.
Okay? So I don't know that I'd go to Philly to check out a draft.
That's a fair point.
But I would go see the draft.
I'd go to Chicago for sure.
Chicago's a great town. Yeah. Absolutely. I'd go do that. But there are other things on my list to go do, taking into the accounting that needs to happen to spend money, hotel,
yeah,
get to the draft. And do you want to be that guy that is booing or cheering and screaming when your team picks and you're you're posterized forever on YouTube? Or they'll show it.
Yeah, like, is your mission when you go there to make sure you leave an impression and that you're going to become a GIF or a meme?
Yeah. No, it's not.
It might be for some people.
And listen, there's just not an NFL team that I'd honestly spend that type of money on. I will watch it. I love doing it. I enjoy what Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays bring. but I'm not going to drop coin to go watch the draft. Why? Because you're going to have about 8 to 12 picks in the entire draft that live up to the hype and live up to the value of where they're picked. And then you're going to have about 10 to 15 dudes or more that are impact guys that turn into really, really good players. I mean, how many Cam Chancellors are out there where you're a fifth-round dude or a Richard Sherman? I use those two examples, or Russell Wilson, that dirty third-round pick. And I think back to past drafts where you've got Drew Brees, that, and this was San Diego's draft, where they traded the Vic pick, to Atlanta. They went and took LaDainian, and then they circled back around in a really good quarterback draft and took Brees. Loved that. This is the supply and demand of the quarterback and teams that need quarterbacks, or teams looking to their 35 or 36-year-old starter that's Pro Bowl and borderline Hall of Fame. I'm talking San Diego or LA or whatever you want to call them, in New York. I mean, you've got a ton of teams that would love to jump on a quarterback and groom a guy, on top of teams that just hate the guy they got under center now. So we'll get into the NFL draft, the quarterbacks, and I love the running backs in this draft too.
So I was thinking about it. If it was just me and a friend paying all that money to fly out there, find the hotel, get a terrible seat, it wouldn't be worth the money to me. Even
now, here's the reality.
Celebrating boo.
There's a high likelihood someone will bust your jaw or stab you with a bottle in Philly just because you show up not wearing green.
For sure. But
not interested.
I think
I'd get in a bar fight here.
I think the way to do it would be to do it bachelor party style. You and a bunch of guys go out there, and then you're not just rooting for yourself. You're interested in what other your buddies' teams, what they're gonna do. And then if they like make a terrible pick, you can rag on them and boo them. Like, I think that would be the way to do it. Make it a bachelor party weekend and go out there with a bunch of guys. Okay. I think that would not just buddy your mind. I wouldn't go, but if it was a bunch of guys, I think that's the best way to do it.
You have more protection in a group.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's ask you this: what Husker in 2017 headed off to NFL potential, do you think will be the best pro? Okay, you know the names. You know Nate Gary. You know Seathan Carter. You know Brandon Riley. You know Westerkamp. You know Tommy. You know Kevin Maurice. You know Bando. I think I've gotten all of the seniors nailed. Which of those guys do you think can become the best pro? I mean, if you're a Nebraska fan, you want them all to have good careers. Now, you look at some past careers in the NFL for Nebraska fans. Look, Roy Helu had a decent run, got dinged up a lot. Rex hasn't got to touch the ball a lot, but he's made himself valuable and got a second year, another contract. I pay attention to how Malik Collins does. You hope Randy Gregory can get on the straight and narrow and do something, because he was a ton of fun to watch here.
You hope Amir can stay healthy.
Yeah, and Amir's a pure joy to watch. And then, I mean, we're fans of Searles, so it's good to see him do well, and same with Qualley. And then there's Spencer, who is doing nice things for a team that's pretty interesting, really, in Washington. They're pretty good. They're pretty good with their development and picks. So, I mean, there's a Nebraska flavor. Nebraska fans always pay attention and care about how their guys do. And I still watch and see how Sue does. Who's he step on? That's okay. He's supposed to do that as a defensive lineman. I have no ill will towards that.
Did you mention Rex?
Yeah, I said
okay,
Rex.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's not touched the ball a lot, but he's made himself invaluable, and he's reinvented himself to fit. So clearly, guys are going to have to do that are leaving Nebraska in 2017. Tommy's changing positions. Westerkamp, can he stay healthy is the question. And is he fast enough to make it at the next level? I think he's a football player. It's just the health question. How much longer does he want to keep going? It's a fair question, because all the surgeries he's had.
Yeah.
Not that he can't. It's will he? Does he want to? Some guys, by the time they get done, are like, I'm checking out, man. I'm going to get a sales job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm just going to go live life. Give him my life, the last 15 years of it, the football. I think Riley's a great question mark to investigate here a bit more because of his hockey background. You know, the kid's tough. He's got speed, and he's showed up in pretty big games against big-time opponents. You've heard that. but I think he's a guy that can absolutely find a practice squad, and I think he's got the drive and he's got the speed. He's got the ability to mismatch. So if I'm picking guys, I think I start with number three being Riley. I think he's got a chance to do well in the league. Question we're asking, what Husker will end up being the best pro out of 17? And if you say none because you don't think anyone will stick or stay, that's fine too. I think Riley will find a niche. I do. He's athletic and fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
My question here is, with the two guys that are the obvious draftable picks, and that's Seathan Carter and Nate Gary. He was talking to a couple people, one in the college level, one that's done NFL stuff. And they acknowledge that NFL folks have been asking for 3 years about Nate Gary and about Seathan Carter. And you can ask questions about Nate, what happened in 15, number of times he got beat over the top. You can ask about the suspensions, but guys just love Gary's ability to be rugged, to tackle, and his speed. I mean, the straight line speed, don't lie, mm-hmm. in the league. And I think he's a guy that I'm going to put number one on the board, and there's not a ton of choices, but I'm going to go with Gary as a guy I think will make an impact. Look at a guy like Greenway. Okay? Found his niche, did his job. Look at a guy like Will Compton, just mm-hmm. signed a deal. Found his niche, did his job, is a leader, and just kept grinding. I look at Nate Gary as a guy that'll grind.
Oh, for sure.
He's a dude that'll grind, and he's a guy that can make an impression either a weak side linebacker that they've asked about, or he's a guy that can play some situational stuff and also do well for you on special teams. Nate Gary screams Pittsburgh Steelers to me.
Oh, for sure. And you brought up Greenway. I've kind of been thinking of another Viking at the safety position, Harrison Smith.
Okay.
I feel like Nate Gary could be a poor man's Harrison Smith, physically durable, going to hit you, going to be able to ball hawk and find the ball, and that's what Harrison Smith
does. How about
does.
John
He's
Lynch?
One of the best.
Remember,
John Lynch, yeah.
I mean, Lynch is a guy, and I mean, Lynch is phenomenal. That's high praise to compare him to, but I think it's the same type of player,
mm-hmm.
where it's instincts, film study, and then some of your God-given ability. So I think Nate can end up in Pittsburgh, could end up at Washington. You have a bunch of teams that need secondary help. You can do a lot worse. You're going to get a guy that grinds,
for sure.
And can maybe adapt to a spot you find a fit for him in. Let's talk Seathan Carter. Two teams that are in my mind when I think of Seathan Carter. And here's the thing with Seathan. I mean, people can talk about the measurables, and like I was reading one scout's analysis. Well, the guy doesn't have big hands, which they don't like for wide receivers or pass catchers. And listen, I look at Seathan Carter as a freak athlete and a guy that tight end factories wanted. LSU's historically put a ton of dudes into the league at tight end. Two, Miami came in late on Seathan Carter before Nebraska got him. And Nebraska was in early and got him. Okay? So you know what Miami's done. All Miami does is spit out tight ends. Could be first round guys like Bubba, or it could be some value picks. Well, Olsen was probably a first round too.
Winslow.
Guy. Yeah. Well, he was a first round guy too.
Yeah.
I mean, Miami just spits out the dude they had that played against Nebraska 2 years ago. Clive was his first name. That guy was like a fifth-round guy, and he was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at Seathan Carter as a guy that would be a number two tight end option. And I think his speed, the way he can run with his size, you know how well he blocks, okay? All that's there. But think about him getting put in a spot with a Gruden. Think how Washington uses their tight ends. I know they got Reed and Niles there, but I could see Seathan doing work there with Callahan, with Gruden, and him being very productive and making a team. Not just, well, Seathan's a practice squad guy. Now, I think Seathan can really make a team because he's a mismatch issue. He can go get the football, and he's tough. Mm-hmm. And the other two teams I like him maybe heading to, straight up obvious New England, just what they do with tight ends. Seathan in his interview at the NFL Combine, the on-field version of Aaron Hernandez is something he thought he saw himself as, that type of body. And I know Aaron was a bit bigger.
Yeah.
But that role. And then Carolina. I know I've mentioned Olsen. Carolina does a lot of stuff with H-back and tight end movement and with Cam. And what Carolina does a lot of double tight end stuff. So maybe a fifth or sixth or seventh round. That's where they're projected. But I think Nate's my pick for the best pro out of 2017 for Nebraska. And then I go Seathan. And those are your two top choices. I get that. I'm not going out on a limb. But I think they both can find and be really good pros. Not just fringe guys, but have a career that develops into something like Will Compton's done, where they do put their time in and eventually maybe end up starting at a spot.
So I would agree with you, your top three. Although third, I kind of rally too, but I wonder if I can maybe slip Kevin Maurice in there too.
Yeah,
I feel like he could find a niche in the NFL.
Kamo's nice. We'll talk some Husker baseball and get caught up. Mojo Hagee and Andy Hoffman this hour on Hail Varsity Radio.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Husker baseball, big win last night, getting geared up for Ohio State. Husker outfielder Mojo Hagee with us. Mojo, thanks for a few minutes. How's it going?
It's going really good. How are you?
Doing all right. Let's talk about the bats came alive, three bombs, and you flashed a little leather out in the outfield. Take me through a couple of those plays.
Definitely this season we've been struggling with the long ball, and last night it all came around at one point. I mean, everyone was hitting the ball really well. It was just flying out to right, and everyone took advantage of it, lefties and righties.
So
we had some really good defensive plays also. It was a lot of team effort, actually. It all came together at once, which was big for us.
You guys were able to lock in and beat UNO, and Mojo, what's kind of been the vibe like with this team? You were able to go up and get some important wins against Minnesota, kind of rebound from Iowa, and how are you guys feeling as you get back into conference play with a big series against Ohio State?
Definitely coming into Ohio State, we're looking to get a series win, and coming off of a Minnesota win was really big for us. UNO was a really important game for us to get ahead and get ready to roll for this weekend.
What's your kind of, I guess, mindset with this team? What do you want to do? What do you want to provide? How do you want to help the team? What's your daily approach like?
My daily approach is just work hard and try and give Coach a reason to put me in the lineup, and that's basically what everyone on the team is doing, is just trying to give Coach a reason to get in the lineup, and I think that's what makes us a great team. Everyone's competing day in and day out, and that's what championship teams are made of.
Mojo Hagee with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A reason to get in the lineup, just kind of stating your case, making your case during practice and then with opportunities. What did you envision this first year here for you? Take us through your story from Scott to Nebraska. How'd you end up in Lincoln?
Well, one day I was just sitting around my house, and my high school baseball coach shot me a text and said, "Hey, Coach Erstad would like to give you a phone call." And I was a little taken back by it, and I was really surprised by the fact that I was going to get a phone call from him. And he offered me a walk-on spot, and I couldn't resist. I said yes and came here. And then through the fall, I just gave him my all, put in work along with everyone else on the team, and Coach Erstad saw me as someone that could play a role on this team, and that's why he kept me around. And there's a lot of guys on this team right now that are still competing even after all this fall ball and everything that's going on in the season, and it's going to take a full 35-man roster to make it anywhere past the end of May.
With that phone call that Erstad gave you, what was that like for you, and how'd the conversation go?
Oh, it was nerve-wracking. I couldn't believe that I was talking to Coach Erstad at Lincoln. I know he had been to a couple of my baseball games prior to that through the spring and summer, and when he called me, he just said, "Hey, Mojo, this is Derek Erstad, Husker baseball coach," and I said, "Hey, Coach, how's it going?" And he said, "I just have one question for you. Do you want to be a Husker?" And I just said, "Yes, Coach. That'd be awesome."
Did you grow up wanting to be a Husker?
Oh, yeah. I came down to all the football games, ton of baseball games, just living right down the road. Exit 432 at Gretna, and it was just an easy trip, and I just loved Husker Nation.
So were you able to catch some of those Alex Gordon, Jabba Chamberlain games?
No, maybe. I don't remember well enough.
Right, yeah, you were probably maybe running around somewhere. But
oh, yeah, I was running out in the park somewhere.
You're taking care of the slide, right? but, yeah, so you know what Nebraska baseball is, how it's been built, and some of the tradition that's there, and you want to be a part of it. And with your role, what do you think you provide the team?
I think I definitely provide the team with a little bit of an energy boost. I mean, a ton of the guys do. It's just a big role a lot of guys have. You know, being able to bring energy day in and day out is something that you need on every team, and I like to think that I help provide with that role.
Where do you get your energy from? How do you do it? Because some guys your age, you're supposed to be energetic, but, you know, you're not always just life isn't always an energy Monday, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. Sometimes it's like Coach Erstad tells us, fake it till you make it. You know, if you're having a bad day, don't let everyone know you're having a bad day. Go out there and compete like it's your best.
What's the transition been like for you? Average is just shy of 270 early in the season, scorching the ball. You've had major moments against Arizona. Big moment to get that triple, to get some breathing room against Iowa. You made some big time plays to keep momentum last night in the field. With that, how have you been able to adjust to college and the speed of the game? Because that's the step up, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely the speed of the game is the biggest step to adjust when you get to college baseball. And it was just a matter of coming in with fall ball and just getting going right from the start. I mean, Coach Erstad didn't take it light on any of us. We jumped right into it. Everyone was getting their live reps, getting equal reps. And so I think that's what really prepared me for the season we're in right now, is that all of fall ball, Coach Erstad was just pushing all of us to get to where we needed to be.
Mojo, what do you love most about baseball?
You know, I think it's just being around the team, like having that team aspect of getting to go out every day and play with people that you're basically best friends with. I mean, I see almost all of these guys every day of the week, and, you know, I wouldn't want to spend it with anyone else.
Couple more minutes. Mojo Hagy with us, Hail Varsity Radio, and at Morris_John on Twitter. I got that right, correct?
Yep.
33 starts this year. Let's talk academics, civil engineering. What made you go that direction?
Well, my grandparents on my mom's side actually are building a house right now from the ground up, and so I've been able to help my grandpa with that whole process and building that and everything, so that just really got me interested into the civil engineering type of stuff, where I could be able to maybe in the future build skyscrapers or bridges or something like that.
What piqued that interest? I mean, obviously the family aspect, but the bridges and skyscrapers angle.
You know, I don't really know. It was just something that came to me when we were getting lectured early freshman year here. We were just getting a lecture, and they just were explaining all the different types of civil engineering. And when they said structural, it jumped out to me, and that's what I knew. I knew that's what I wanted to do.
When it comes to, you know, helping your grandfolks with the house, what type of work are you doing in there?
Oh, we did all sorts of stuff. We laid block for the foundation, poured concrete. We put up walls, we put up siding, we did it all. Roof.
Any favorites and any job you'd punt?
No favorites, no nothing. It was just going out, being able to help out work, and just do something fun that I enjoyed.
Let's talk about your high school career at Scott, Super State, All-State, trips to the championship game, and kind of give your high school program a little love.
Oh, Scott was great for me. Honestly, I grew up in Gretna, and I think going to Scott was a great choice for me. The baseball program, it fit me perfectly. Coach Exner was, he was the same type of person I was, going in every day and being able to compete and put out the best lineup and just going out for a win for everyone else. Not for you or for the coach, you were doing it for the team.
Is that something that's kind of always been your personality, greater good versus me?
Yes, definitely. I mean, honestly, I would go in and just, it was all for the team when I was at Scott. And, you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to get a state championship out of the deal, but, you know, that would have been for the team.
Mojo Aggie with us, Hale Varsity Radio. And, Mojo, what's I guess, a strength right now as you look at the baseball team moving forward into Big Ten play? What are you feeling good about with the guys, with the fellas as you move forward?
I think our defensive play right now and offensive play are coming around really well. I think that was something that was a little slow for us at the start of the year. And so now that our hitting has really come around and our defensive play has just become rock solid, I think that's going to benefit us the most as we go into Big Ten or finish off Big Ten play here.
Plate approach, has that adjusted at all? Has it been tweaked? Kind of take me through your offensive approach.
No, my offensive approach hasn't changed too much. It was basically been the same throughout the whole year. It's just I got a little bit away from it there for a couple weeks, and that's kind of why I started to struggle. But I'm starting to get back to it and starting to get back into it, and so we'll see how it goes.
What'd you do to get away from it? Were you able to specify what was different?
It was just starting, I mean, it could have been just one thing. Wind blowing out and I start to pull off the baseball. It was just little things that got into my head and it just wasn't within myself. And so that's what caused me to have problems.
And I want to wrap up with this, Mojo. And thanks for a few minutes, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
What's it like to talk hitting with Coach Erstad?
It's interesting. Just knowing his background and everything that he's done, talking hitting with him is just, I mean, I feel like no matter what I say, he's going to have something to come with. Like if I said, oh, well, I feel like I'm pulling off the ball, he'll have a full explanation of what I'm doing and everything like that. And he just understands where we're coming from with hitting and our approaches. And so I think it's really easy to talk to him and figure things out with your swing.
Can you kind of tell folks what type of teacher he is? I mean, the level he was at, not only collegiately, but, you know, multiple time All-Star, Gold Glove, different spots. I mean, just an awesome MLB player. Is he able to communicate to the guys the good and the bad?
Yes, he definitely is a great communicator with us. He's able to speak to us and let us know what he thinks about what we're doing, and it helps us understand what we have to get accomplished. And he's just a great coach for our program.
All right, Mojo Aggie with us. Mojo, best of luck against Ohio State. Thanks for a few minutes with Hale Varsity.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Have a good one.
That's our chat with Mojo Aggie, Hale Varsity Radio. Mojo and the gang off to Ohio State. Good to get caught up with him. Spent some time with him yesterday. You just had a chance to hear that now. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, Andy Hoffman. We'll get you a Team Jack update. How's Jack doing? How's the family? And a great opportunity for you to golf with some Huskers coming up on June 24th. Earl Buddy Searles and Spencer Long and Amir and Kenny Bell, they're all back to help raise awareness for Team Jack at Quarry Oaks. So we'll get caught up. Andy Hoffman up next. Don't want to miss that. Also, Mitch Holtis, play-by-play man of the Kansas City Chiefs. Get his thoughts on the draft. And we'll dive in shortly on this quarterback class and some of the backs in 2017. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, it's Hale Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to halevarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time to talk Team Jack Foundation. Welcome in proud father, Andy Hoffman. Andy, nice to speak with you again. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it.
No, appreciate your time. And so much going on with the Team Jack Foundation. Of course, you can log on teamjackfoundation.org and get caught up. A great event coming up here June 24th. I want to tell Nebraska fans about, and it's golf outing at Quarry Oaks. And Andy, let's talk a little bit about the golf scramble, the folks that are involved with it, and how this kind of came to be. Phenomenal golf course. Sounds like a lot of fun in June.
Well, we're really excited about it. And, you know, Tammy Campbell, the mother of Kenny Bell, has been instrumental in helping organize it. We started a new Husker alumni chapter underneath Team Jack. And this alumni chapter is a group of former Huskers that are now, most of them in the NFL, that are just using their platform and their celebrity to help raise money and awareness for pediatric brain cancer. This group was responsible for helping raise over $50,000 at our gala this last February in Lincoln through, you know, contributions and donations and things like that. And, you know, they just continue to pour on their support for this cause. And so, we've got Kenny Bell, Amir Abdullah, Will Compton, Jeremiah Searle, Spencer Long, and others are going to be participating in the golf scramble. And so it's going to be a real exciting event, and we're just very thankful and appreciative to everybody for supporting it.
Talking with Andy Hoffman, Hail Varsity Radio, the Team Jack Foundation, the Husker Alumni Golf Scramble can register when you log on teamjackfoundation.org. Jeremiah Searles, I've seen Searles and Spencer Long golf, so it'll be a fun time with them and a great cast of folks to help support and raise awareness and funds for pediatric brain cancer. Andy, let's talk a little bit about your foundation and some of the funds that are raised and how it's distributed, specifically just how up to date in your passion for finding that drug efficiency. You have a list of things that are near and dear to your heart when it comes to fighting pediatric brain cancer, but drug efficiency extremely important to you, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, it's been an amazing process. We first started raising money in 2012. Our first major contribution was in the winter of 2013. And since that time, there's been research yielded because of that laboratory research that we invested in. This research yielded basically a finding that's going to allow us to now fund a clinical trial that stems from that laboratory research. And so we've kind of seen it come full circle over the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, it's not a stretch to say that through the sale of a Cornhusker T-shirt, we're now on the verge of bringing a new, you know, brain cancer therapy to the marketplace. And so that's been really exciting for us to watch the investment in the laboratory side and then also invest in it and be able to invest in it on the clinical trial side. And, you know, and a lot of times for these kids who have brain tumors, that's their best chance at survival, is to enroll in a clinical trial, which is basically like, you know, where we take a new cancer therapy and we start giving it to kids. And so that's really fantastic. These kids are going to get a new medicine, but that's not good enough, because so many of these clinical trials are not available to kids in Nebraska. They have to travel. Kids that are in clinical trials frequently have to go to Boston, Cincinnati, Chicago, St. Jude, you know, places like that, you know, usually on one of the coasts. And so what we've tried to do is put together a pediatric brain tumor program in conjunction with the Fred and Pamela Buffett Cancer Center. We've made a $1.5 million commitment locally to help promote and get a pediatric neuro-oncologist and really start a program here in Nebraska so that these clinical trials can be hosted right here in Nebraska and these drugs that we're investing in can be made available to our kids in Nebraska. And so, you know, we want the new cancer therapies, and we want to expedite that research process and expedite the therapeutic process, but we think it's equally as important to be able to give Nebraska kids access to those medicines.
Absolutely essential. Another topic I want to get your thoughts on, the neurosurgical innovation, that process, the funding that's going on with that. You mentioned drug efficiency, clinical trial, and the neurosurgical innovation. Can you give us an update with that direction? question.
You know, researchers continue to work on developing a device which would, during the brain tumor resection process, to the touch, would be able to identify good brain tumor, good brain tissue from brain tumor. It's very difficult as a neurosurgeon to sometimes be able to decipher, you know, the two when you're underneath the microscope. And so that's one of the things, recognizing how important the cancer surgery process is. That was one of our early commitments, was to the development, working with MIT and other researchers at Harvard Med School to develop this. That's one of those processes that's ongoing. You know, what we're starting to see, you know, clinical trials are great because that's applicable right now to kids. Some of these other laboratory research projects and technological research projects, they take time. But what's exciting about that project is that it's translational. And if we can make that work and get that to where it works the right way, it's applicable to other cancer surgeries in other parts of the body. And so what we hope is that we're on the front end and helping invest in not just cancer research projects that could help for children with brain tumors, but also children and adults with cancer.
Andy Hoffman with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Team Jack Foundation. Of course, the golf outing, Quarry Oaks, on June 24th. Can get signed up for that. Help donate, help raise awareness, help fund the fight against pediatric brain cancer, teamjackfoundation.org. Andy, give us an update. How's Jack and how's the family doing?
Thanks for asking. Jack is doing great. He's just finishing up his fifth grade year, heading into sixth grade next year. If all you've ever seen of him is running the football back in 2013, you wouldn't recognize him. He's a growing little boy. We're very blessed, after having been through two brain tumor surgeries and two different rounds of cancer therapy. Having said that, though, his seizures have kind of returned, and he's on anti-epileptic medicines, and so we have a growing concern there. He goes out to Boston next week for an MRI, and that's going to tell us more. Hopefully, though, the seizures are just a result of having residual tumor in his brain and scar tissue from surgery and things like that, and not, you know, a tumor that's decided to grow again. He's been off cancer therapy since October of 15, which has been a real blessing. So, you know, we work with so many families that their children are in wheelchairs, or they can't, you know, they have balance issues or mobility issues, and then work with some families that don't even have their child. And so, you know, all said, it's hard for me to say that Jack's doing anything other than outstanding. But you know, he has some issues, which, you know, to me just highlight the fact that child brain cancer is special. It's more than just a cancer. It's a permanent disability, and you know, that's the true part of it. And so, but we deal with it, and we're just excited he's got another year of school under his belt.
Well, blessings to you and your family, and thoughts and prayers as you move forward. And thanks for what you're doing to raise awareness and the fight against pediatric brain cancer. Team Jack Foundation, Andy Hoffman. Andy, thanks for a few minutes with us on Hale Varsity. Best to you and your family. Okay.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HALE to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at JMore44, and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
We'll get caught up with Jay Bird next week. Jay Moore, good stuff from him yesterday. If you missed the podcast, HaleVarsity.com or iTunes or the ESPN 1480 app. His thoughts on the Nebraska players into the draft. Big thanks to Andy Hoffman for giving us an update on Jack. And a Team Jack golf outing going to be just incredible. Quarry Oaks on June 24th. Kenny Bell, Amir Abdullah, Searles, Spencer Long, Will Compton, other good folks. So it'll be a good time.
Searles have a good golf game?
Searles' golf game is pretty decent. So is Spencer's. Mine not so much. I underline that a lot. I understand. But I will give them a lot of patience or props for their patience. They're good athletes. They're big dudes, but they can swing it pretty well. Now, they once in a while try and just see how far they can hit it.
Oh, for sure. So after like a almost 14-year hiatus, I am planning to get back into golf this summer.
Really?
I got golf clubs last May for my birthday. Didn't use them, but I'm finally going to use them this summer. I golfed a lot from like age 9 to 13, but then just took
a third. Is that an invite for us to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to need lessons. I'm going to need help. So, but
we'll get you sent
I doubt it's going to be like it's riding a bicycle. I'm sure there's going to be taking a lot of lumps.
Now, you're, I think, an okay enough athlete that you'll be fine. I want to tell you about Sauter Heyman. Make time this weekend. Go see Rick. Go see your friends at Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Pure-grown diamonds are 100% real. They're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They have characteristics of earth-mined diamonds. They're very beautiful. They're eco-friendly, and they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Come see why pure-grown diamonds have some of the biggest and have become some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Can stop by and see those pure grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Okay, it's officially unofficial until the draft is underway in an hour and 5 minutes by Myles Garrett. He will go to Cleveland. That is a done deal. Miles asking himself if he can go back to college at this moment. So TJ and I will play Who You Got next hour. We'll throw out some names, some positions, and a legendary voice of Kansas City Chiefs football, Mitch Holthus. Chiefs having a party, a draft party, getting underway in a little bit. Mitch Holthus will join us for a little while here, about 5:25, get his thoughts on Nebraska to the NFL. His thoughts on the Chiefs. Do they go quarterback? Do they go running back? Do they go inside linebacker? Even if you're not a Chiefs fan, who they go after, what they target could affect you. And that AFC West is loaded. Great division. Oakland's incredible. Kansas City, tremendous last year. The Donkeys, they're pretty good. They just didn't quite have enough to finish out last year. And I'm still calling them San Diego till they move. They got some players. All right. NFL draft thoughts and the Who You Got game next on Hale Varsity Radio Hour 2 straight ahead.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you, busy one. Voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. In 15 minutes, we'll get caught up with him. Big old party going on down in Kansas City. Mitch was at the KFOR 1480 Sportscasters Banquet last night. Had an inspiring message to 9 Lincoln High School students who had scholarships and several awards handed out to, well, many people who've served the community academically and athletically. So thanks to those folks who attended last night. So that is good stuff. So we're going to play Who You Got first, TJ. And this draft, I don't know. The buzz I have with this draft is I think there's some really talented running backs. And I'm more intrigued about the quarterbacks than excited. You got more of a question mark than an exclamation point with the quarterbacks. But I think it's pretty well documented that the safeties and corners are a lot of studs there. There's some good defensive linemen. Myles Garrett will be the number one pick in less than an hour, according to Cleveland. sources talking to ESPN and Fox and Cleveland.com. So let me ask you this, and you can tap the line and dial us up, Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House will let you do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Is it unanimous that you go quarterback if you're starting a franchise?
Until you have the right guy, I feel like it is.
Okay. Over pass rusher. Because it used to be.
Not this year, I wouldn't.
No. Why? Because, listen, the NFL is flat out panicked. They're panicked. They don't know what to think or feel. Because it's their backside if they screw up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cleveland will just keep hitting reset till they find their next Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
If they go quarterback, they're not going to. And I look at this situation where you've just got you don't have a mesh point anymore. You have some, but not all. You have LSU, you have Florida State, you have USC, you have Nebraska, you have Michigan, you have Stanford. Those are your pro-style offenses now. Everyone else running spread.
Mm-hmm.
So what spread system are you coming out of? And can it apply to the NFL? Can the dude read a defense? How are his mechanics? What's his IQ? Is he a risk taker without a Favre arm? So that's there. So let's just get that out of the way first. Do you have to go quarterback to start out? Clearly, Cleveland's like, we're going to take best available. We got the first pick, the 12th pick, and there should be somebody there.
And if Cleveland was going to go quarterback, they should have done it last year with Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Because he was available.
He was. Okay, now, who you got? Let's talk quarterbacks first. Say you have to get a quarterback, and you've not gone free agency. Next year's quarterback crop sounds and looks way better than this year's. That said, who's your quarterback in this draft that you'd be comfortable going, yeah, I want that guy on my team?
There's not many of them. There's actually only one I would really draft in the first round, and that'd be Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Just because of his skill set and tangibles. He's a winner. Don't love that he played the spread offense, but out of all the other guys, like they were talking about Mitchell Trubisky getting selected number one overall. He was on John Gruden's quarterback camp.
I watched all the Gruden quarterback camps on these dudes, yeah.
Trubisky didn't know what a hard count was. Mm-hmm. Mark Schlereth was on Russell and Cannell, which RIP Cannell, but and Schlereth just couldn't believe that Trubisky didn't know what a hard count was.
You know what else Trubisky doesn't know? How to transfer. It's a good thing. He knows how to sit through, keep prepping like he's the starter, and I know he's only started 13 games. I get it.
But he's going to be transferring a lot in the NFL probably. He's going to go from team to team.
Whatever. My point is that he's the last guy in America that's not transferred anywhere when he didn't get his way or the situation didn't look bleak. Okay. Listen.
When people are comparing your upside to Andy Dalton and Ryan Tannehill, and I've watched Tannehill up close.
Dalton and Cincinnati haven't gotten it done in the postseason, but at least they've gotten to the postseason.
For sure.
Okay. That's a step in the right direction. Trubisky, I like his perseverance. I think he's old school. I think he's a guy that'll just keep working at it till it gets done correctly with the intention of always doing it correctly the first time. I love Watson and what you said about being a winner. Now, the thing that scares me about Watson is that spread. Now, he's been compared to McNabb, and if that's the comparison, count me in. I think I would go with Watson first, followed by Trubisky, and that'll likely be the order or flip-flopped. The thing that I don't know about with Watson is the red zone stuff wasn't good. I mean, there were a lot of red zone turnovers. Yeah. And the other part of it is that guy has been surrounded by some of the best talent in America. What's he going to do? How's he going to perform if he had a better offensive line and wideouts at Clemson than he does in Cleveland. How's he going to perform? I'm saying Cleveland comes back, mm-hmm. circles back, and maybe takes him 12th. Mm-hmm. That's my question. Now, listen, Watson's the type of dude that just will go play ball, be a winner. He's calm, and he is also mobile. I mean, he's a guy that can win you a lot of games, but also do it in different fashions. He's not a run-first guy, obviously, but he's mobile enough to not be a sitting duck back there. So I really like both of these quarterbacks. I just don't know that they wow me. Like,
no, of course not.
When I saw Andrew Luck, I'm like, man, that guy was good.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And he had talent around him too, but it was on the line.
Yep.
But I kind of feel this way about the draft era when you had Phillip Rivers, when you had Roethlisberger, and then you also had Eli. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eli never killed it in college. Phillip Rivers never killed it in college. Big Ben came from the MAC. I'm just giving examples of mm-hmm. kind of a similar outlook I had on a quarterback class, and they turned out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, none of these guys you would want starting week one in the NFL. Like I mentioned, if I only had to take one quarterback in the first round, it would be Watson.
Can they all turn into Kirk Cousins, though?
So Trubisky could. Like, I could see that, just not having the amount of games under his belt, getting better. I didn't think Kirk Cousins would improve as fast as he did.
He's really good.
And Ryan Tannehill, you know, he didn't have a lot of games to college either, and he's improved just, you know, minorly. But for me, going second behind Deshaun Watson, I would do Pat Mahomes. And again, it's not a guy I love either, but because he also is a system quarterback, but the guy can sling it. He's mobile. He didn't lose a lot of games for Texas Tech. That was mostly on their defense. So
he's 0-9 against ranked teams.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. The two smartest quarterbacks in the draft, like just brains, Kaiser and then Dobbs.
Yeah.
I mean, I love both of those guys as you get them like fourth, fifth round, and then they're backups. Mm-hmm. You just don't know, though. I mean, look, were you wowed by Dak Prescott? No, but he got into a great system.
I mean, yeah, I thought he was a poor man's Tebow in college.
Yeah. He got into a good system. He handed the ball off. They ran it, and then he made capable throws.
Yeah.
They didn't ask him to win it. Where these guys are going next, are they being asked to go win the football game for you versus manage? That's the situation. Mm-hmm. So we're playing who you got. You're going with Watson. I think I would go with – I think I'd agree with you. You go with Watson.
Yeah, Watson Mahomes would be my 1-2.
See, I change it up. I go Watson, and then I go Trubisky. And again, Russ Landy yesterday is like, yeah, I wouldn't take any quarterback in the first round.
Yeah, and I'm with him.
So, yeah, we're there. But somebody will overpay, mm-hmm. obviously. Running backs. Three of them. I love this running back class. I do. A lot of talent. It's pretty good. McCaffrey, Lenny, Dalvin. I am going Dalvin Cook.
Can't go wrong with any three of those.
No, you can't, but I love Dalvin Cook, and I've loved watching him for a long time at Florida State. Played well as a freshman. You saw what he did against Michigan. You saw what he did in big games. And when push comes to shove, they could get it to him out on the edge or hand it off, and he'd run it tough. I know his background's been under the microscope, and there's some BS that's gone on with people bad mouth in him, and there's also some questionable decisions that Cook's made in his life as a youth. All that said, I got Dante Freeman running through my head here, but a faster version and more of a home run threat. Well, they're the same dude. I mean, they're from Florida State. You said, oh, I like this Dante Freeman dude. Let's go get another Dante Freeman in Cook. Now, Cook was supposed to go to Clemson, 12th hour, switched to Florida State. I love Dalvin. I think he's more pro-ready. Florida State's putting guys into the league, and they do perform at a pretty high level. I like Dalvin over Leonard Fournette. The comparison was written about. It's similar to the draft when you had Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson. Marshawn went ahead of AP because he could catch the ball. That's why I like Cook over Fournette. Now, Fournette's going to get you 4.5, 5 yards, but I like Cook's ability. What do you think of McCaffrey?
So would you rank McCaffrey third out of those three for
yes,
you?
Yes,
okay.
I would.
So I would rank Dalvin Cook third out of mine, and I still love Dalvin Cook. Like, I wouldn't have an issue drafting him either way. But
if I'm Jacksonville, I go with the hometown pick. I take him.
Yeah.
I take Dalvin Cook fourth tonight.
Yeah.
Over Fournette, over McCaffrey. Carolina's the only other team in position at seven to get a back. And they could go, I think they go Fournette.
And I wouldn't have an issue with that at all. Two, I'd go Fournette. Just reminds me a little bit of AP, man. And if you can remind me of AP, like, he's the best running back in my eyes I've ever seen. So I would love his power, love his strength, just truck guys over. But for one, number one, out of those three guys, I'm going Christian McCaffrey, because what he can do out of the running back position, but also out of the wide receiver and the kick return and punt return, the guy is special. He can make things happen, get him going on reverses. His feet are crazy quick. Worry about his durability a little bit, but man, that guy is special in my eyes.
Here's the thing. People have been burned with Stanford backs in the past. Brad Mustard, come on down. That's a full.
Who?
Yeah, he used to be a fullback 100 years ago.
Brad Mustard?
Colonel Mustard. Okay. He was, who's the
worst
guy?
Name team.
Who's the guy that the Vikings picked not too long ago? There was a Heisman finalist.
Oh, yeah, he was no good.
We can't even remember the kid's name. He's a first round pick.
The ginger.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a second.
Yeah, look that up. It's not Allstott, because he was out of Purdue.
Yeah.
But Allstott was great.
He was.
He was big time. He's a fullback. No, God, why can't we remember McCaffrey's predecessor at Stanford? That your Vikings took and...
Toby Gerhart.
Yeah. The mighty Toby.
Yeah.
Listen, I think McCaffrey will be okay. He's in a different level or league than those previous backs mentioned. You look at his dad. You look at the Shaw system. You got to be tough to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll be okay. I still would take those two other backs before him. Hands down, twice on Sunday. That's where I'm at. And
yeah.
Why do I like Cook so much? It's just because against elite competition, against dudes that are going to be in the league when he played Miami, against dudes that are going to be in the league when he played against Michigan, against Louisville. I know Louisville dropped.
Louisville didn't go.
Louisville dropped a bomb on him. But otherwise, I mean, I just like the type of offense and physicality Florida State has, and Jimbo Fisher's putting dudes into the league. He's at an elite level. And Cook is the elite back of the draft.
You would take any of these three running backs over any quarterback?
I would.
I would as well.
I would do that. I would take, of all the edge rushers you got available, I would put quarterbacks probably sixth or seventh when I rank positions.
Yeah.
I mean, I would go probably safety with the number one spot. Really good draft. Tight ends, too.
Yeah, tight ends.
I would go probably running backs or defensive end / edge rushers three. I mean, quarterbacks are seventh or eighth. You just don't know. And maybe you hit a home run with somebody like that 04 draft. But that's a big ask. And you might as well be safe and not overreach, especially if you can survive a year and then look at next year. Look at next year's quarterback class. And we haven't got into it, but you're going to see a change, too, with Nebraska football. You're going to see a change with the quarterback situation at Nebraska. You already are on the field with the style, but you're going to see it come NFL draft weekend. You're going to see guys that Riley and Langsdorf find and get to Lincoln and groom, whether they start or get you a big 10 championship or get you to New Year's Day 6, you're going to see guys that pro scouts and pro teams want in their camp and on their team because of the history and reputation Riley and Langsdorf have. Where's Kansas City go? Excuse me. Where's Kansas City going? Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, next.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back at it, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big night, NFL draft upon us, and play-by-play man, legendary voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis with us, at Mitch Holtis on Twitter. Mitch, great to talk to you again, man. How you doing? How you feeling here as we get close to the draft?
Well, really excited. This is the college version of signing day, although college football fans have kind of been, that's kind of been ruined because, I mean, commitments from sophomore years and such. This is a big night. It's actually a big 3 days. And a fourth day, if you want to count Sunday. Now, the public doesn't know what goes on nowadays, but that's the recruitment of college free agents who don't get drafted. We've seen many Huskers that have gone undrafted that have become players in the NFL not drafted. So that can happen too. But very exciting tonight. We'll have several thousand people, 4,000 or 5,000, probably 5,000 people tonight. Part of a huge county fair, basically. I mean, just imagine the floor and the seats at Pinnacle Bank Arena, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in there waiting to pick. It's that kind of excitement tonight.
Well, and Kansas City is scouted and drafted so well. Mitch, do you feel like you have a good handle on the direction Kansas City wants to go? Do they try and trade up? Do they stay pat? I mean, they have 10 picks in this draft, and what position do you think they need most?
Well, that's a great question. It's a loaded question. The Chiefs are, I mean, there's a bit of a good news, bad news here. The good news is there's no one glaring overall need unless it would be inside linebacker with the injury rehabilitation of Derrick Johnson. And the Chiefs weren't very good against the run last year. They go, Chiefs were 12-5 with their playoff loss to the Steelers candidate in the 12-4 regular season record. And all five losses were teams that emphasized the run. Two to the Steelers, the Titans, the Buccaneers, and the Texans. So they got to get better against the run. So that's probably the biggest need, although I don't think the Chiefs will draft necessarily to that need. They can stay to the board because this is still a talented team and a team that will challenge in the AFC.
You know, needs and best available, and Kansas City's history also has been to look at a spot where they might be losing a free agent. I've seen several names, and do you have a vibe on how Andy Reid feels about this 17 quarterback class?
They like them. They like the class, but they're all developmental. There's no Andrew Luck in this class. There usually is not. I'm not sure there's a Marcus Mariota in this class, but there's a lot of guys who could develop into those. And there's four main quarterbacks that have come under the radar, and most people know who those are. Pat Mahomes of Texas Tech, Deshaun Watson, the national champion, 2 years in the national championship game at Clemson, Mitch Trubisky of North Carolina, who will be the first quarterback taken, and then there's DeShone Kizer of Notre Dame. The Chiefs, if they take one of those four, it would be a developmental situation. Alex Smith is a starter for sure in 17, maybe 17 and 18. But I look for the Chiefs to take a quarterback at some point in the draft. There's some other guys later and later rounds that could develop into be starting quarterbacks. Nathan Peterman of Pitt is one that I put in that category. Maybe Joshua Dobbs of Tennessee is another. But I look for the Chiefs to take a quarterback, but not necessarily in the first couple of picks.
Well, you've had quarterback value fall to you. You look at Dak Prescott. You look at Russell Wilson. You can get a really good quarterback later in the draft. Mitch Holtis, play-by-play man, Kansas City Chiefs.
Or Tom Brady in the sixth round. I mean, you could play that game.
Yeah, right? Just leave the most important one off of my point here. Thank you.
Watch sixth round? They're like, sixth round. So
Mitch Holtis, a few more minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. How about running back and Dalvin Cook? I've seen his name associated with the Chiefs, and I think he's incredible. I think he's a tremendous back. I know there's some questions about him.
There are, and that's why he could possibly drop to the Chiefs at 27. But let's not forget, the Chiefs lost Jamaal Charles, or at least let him go, didn't re-sign him because of a second ACL injury. And the Chiefs are, they've actually got the NFL's best record in the last 27 regular season games at 22-5 and 11-1 in the division. And really, all due respect to Jamaal, I love the kid. I love him. But he was a part of none of that. There's no wins in there that he, you know, he had a 200-yard game to win it. He just was injured all the time. So you still have to replace a back. You need three backs in the system, essentially. You've got Spencer Ware and Kendrick West. And Cook, if he falls to 27, it'd be a perfect fit.
Mitch Holtis, Hail Varsity Radio with us, at Mitch Holtis on Twitter. Mitch, what's kind of the reputation about Nebraska down in your neck of the woods when it comes to guys in the pros? And I know you're high on former Huskers Will Shields, Neil Smith, great Chiefs.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you have kind of a new era here with Coach Riley and the pro style that's being implemented this season and beyond at Nebraska. What's the word on Nebraska players in your circles?
There's a wait and see on them, quite honestly, Chris. And it's in a tremendous respect. Lincoln and Omaha and two-thirds of Nebraska, as we've claimed for the Chiefs kingdom, there's a ton of Chiefs fans listening to us now, and Omaha is a big Chiefs town. But it's a wait and see. They like and respect Mike a lot. You look what his guys did from Oregon State. We've got DJ Alexander. We've got Steven Nelson on our roster, who Coach Riley had at Oregon State. So that tells you all you need to know. So maybe not in 17, but in 18 and 19, I wouldn't put it past the Chiefs to look at some Huskers and draft them.
Why do you think Kansas City's been so good with not only their picks but their development? I know there's talent in the front office with the GM, with the coaching staff, but there's not been many fumbles by Kansas City with picks and development. I mean, it seems like if you go for a pass rush guy, boom, he's got a really good career. You look at interior, it does well. You find running backs, you find your system. Why has Kansas City been better than everyone else, it seems like?
Well, we have been since John Dorsey and Andy Reid came to town. The last 4 years, you've got to look, there's been a star chosen in every draft. And I'm talking a Pro Bowler, lights-out player. If you look at Travis Kelce, who's one of the premier tight ends in the league, taken in the third round in 13. In 14, in sixth round, the Canadian doctor, Laurie Duvernay-Tardif, who's on the cusp of being a Pro Bowl right guard, trying to live up to the reputation of Will Shields at right guard. Tyreek Hill last year, who runs 23 miles an hour in pads. Then Marcus Peters, the NFL Defensive Rookie of the year before. To me, and you and I chatted about this last night at our sportscasters banquet in downtown Lincoln, was the Chiefs have become, or tried to become as a prototype, the Packers of the AFC. I have prayed and hoped and clamored for it for years in my brief 23 years as the voice of the Chiefs. The last four, we have become that. And now fans would say, is Alex Smith good enough to get you to win a Super Bowl? And when are the Chiefs going to draft the impact quarterback? That's the two questions that are asked the most in the Chiefs kingdom. But you look at the drafts of these guys and what they've done the last 4 years, and they've hit, and they've hit, and they've hit, and they've missed, but they got a lot more hits than misses.
Mitch, want to spend a couple minutes here before we say goodbye. Mitch Holtis, play-by-play man, Kansas City Chiefs, NFL draft just around the corner. Your time last night in Lincoln, the KFOR and KLMS Sportscaster Banquet, first and foremost, was incredible. I listened to you do games, but I've not heard you speak before. And the message you sent to high school seniors at the banquet, to parents, to coaches, was phenomenal. Free agent or footprint is such a spot-on, right-on message, Mitch. And for those who weren't fortunate enough to be at a table last night, give me about 60 seconds of what you want to hit home with the message to young folks out there. It was incredible.
Well, and it's to all of us, quite honestly. And if you were listening really closely, I was talking to myself as well. There were nine incredible student-athletes from representing all nine Lincoln high schools in that event last night. And as I dug in and researched all nine of those kids, it kind of blew me away with what they've done. 4 years, all those kids did not transfer to another school. I brought up Division I college basketball, 700 transfers in a single year. College basketball is a mess on the men's side, I'm just going to tell you. But it permeates through the rest of our society. We're too quick to bail out. I mean, we spend $60,000 on a wedding that lasts 60 days. I mean, it's just a matter, are we free agents? Like, what are you going to give me? What am I going to get out of this? Or two, what am I going to do with my God-given abilities to contribute and make my days that I've got on this earth count. And those nine kids that were there last night, all nine of them, and I brought up different situations with all nine, mentioned some of their athletic accomplishments. Mostly I mentioned what they had done off the court or the field or the pool. And it's just changing our way of thinking. Instead of all of us being free agents with brokers and peeps and handlers, is that we'll instead make a footprint. Because the heroes of the story down through life aren't those that necessarily just play the free agent game. It's those that everybody wants to be there, very few want to get there. Will Shields is a perfect example. He was my Exhibit A last night of a guy who's made an incredible footprint. A lot in Oklahoma in high school, Lincoln in college, his family. You saw Siobhan Shields up there, Sanika and Solomon, his other two children. What he's done in Kansas City, NFL Man of the Year. Also with the 68 Inside Sports, his facility here, and his Will to Succeed Foundation. That's what I'm talking about. So that was my question. Are we going to be footprint makers? Or are we all just free agents?
Well, it was a tremendous, tremendous night in Lincoln. And thanks to you, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, for sharing your message and inspiring. And obviously the great work you do, the outreach, and of course what you bring to the folks across different channels, not only on TV, but in the Chiefs Kingdom on radio, which you hear on KFOR. Mitch, busy day for you. It's going to be 5,000 of you and your closest buddies here shortly for the NFL draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'd love to catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity, Mitch.
Thanks, Chris. If people follow me on Twitter, at Mitch Holtis, I will try to take some photos tonight and put them on Twitter, and it'll blow people away. You'll feel like you're at Lincoln on a Saturday.
It'll be awesome. Can't wait for it. Mitch, take care, sir.
See you guys.
Mitch Holtis is just incredible. Great message last night, and his speech, his talk about footprint makers or free agents is hits home. And that's, we talked quarterbacks. We played the Who You Got game. That's one reason Trubisky is a lean, because he stuck it out. Does it mean he's going to be great? Does it mean he's going to be competent? No. But he at least stuck it out when it wasn't going his way. So I think that's pretty cool. We will get more into the NFL draft. It is 20 minutes away. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks to Chiefs play-by-play man Mitch Holtis for spending time with us. His thoughts on the Chiefs, his thoughts on Nebraska, and the draft. If I were drafted tonight, I would spend my first few dollars on a hot tub, because I know I'm going to need it for training camp. I go see Deb. Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, you got your chips and dips and all that ready for the NFL draft tonight? How you doing?
I really do. I mean, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's time of the year where you just enjoy your hot tub for relaxation and everything, but I think we've still got a few more days of just trying to stay warm in your hot tub. So we've got the spas ready to go, ready to be installed, and it's going to be a cool weekend. So let us deliver a spa. We could deliver one tomorrow, I do believe, and you could be in it by Saturday.
Well, do that, and I will be in it by Saturday. And Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Deb, you're at 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. You have a location in Omaha, spasonline.com. Folks can log on. You can also come see if they're outside of Lincoln. But you've got a selection, don't you? I mean, you kind of have, just keeping with that NFL draft theme, you've got first-rounders, fifth-rounders, and free agents, but it all work, correct?
That's right, in every price range, every budget, and two people up to the whole team, and we've got it all in stock, so you don't have to wait. Nobody wants to order a spa or pick out a spa and then sit and wait 4 to 6 weeks. We've got a lot of inventory. We always keep a lot of inventory, and we pass the savings along to our customers because we buy them by the truckload. And we can do that because we've got, you know, stores and warehouses and And we want to be there when you want us to be there.
Well, you have 25 years, too, of doing it.
Yeah, right.
Deb, the swim spa, that's kind of like the first rounder, and it's worth every penny, correct?
That's for sure, and that is something that you'll use year-round, whether it be just to swim in, exercise in, or sit back, relax. You can do it all, and you can have it year-round. It's not just a three-month thing of swimming. It's year-round exercise and just downright enjoyment. So come see us. Pricing, again, way less than installing an in-ground pool. So come see us.
I love that. Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, and in Lincoln, spasonline.com. If folks want to come see you tomorrow, Deb, or the weekend, what are your hours?
10 to 6 Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday.
Deb, we will see you soon. Thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, I'm serious. If you're a Chiefs fan, go get a red spa. If you're a Viking fan, they make purple. If you're a Donkey fan, orange or blue, it's okay. Green Bay, green or yellow. Deb will take care of you.
Yeah, it would be great just to sit in your hot tub and watch that draft. Just chips to the side.
I need a
dip.
Floating Ooh. Pretzel bowl, though. One that can absorb the bubbles.
For sure.
Might get a bit wavy.
Yeah.
Okay, it is out. The 2017 NFL draft announcer drinking game. Okay. So, this is for those experienced draft viewers.
Yep.
And drinkers. One, take a sip. Every time Trey Wingo says on the clock, the pick is in. Here's the commissioner. Shefty, National Football League. Let's take a sip.
Okay.
Every time Mr. Wingo says on the clock, the pick is in. Here's the commissioner, Shefty, or National Football League. Drink one. Every time Mel Kiper, Lewis Riddick, or Todd McShay says, long arms. Okay. Tremendous upside.
Yeah, there it is, upside.
Extremely raw. Stiff hips. Character issues. Can make all the throws. Productivity. Playmaker. Versatility. Best player available. That's take a drink.
I thought Grinder would have been in that one.
Hang on. High ceiling. Value or need versus value. Skill set or ball skills. High risk, high reward. Boom or bust. And a player's height and weight or 40 time. You have to take one drink. Again, the 2017 NFL draft announcer drinking game. Two drinks. Every time this is uttered tonight, deceptive speed or sneaky athletic, gym rat or work ethic, Jay's favorite words, high motor.
Yep.
You got to take two drinks.
High motor.
Grit. I like the word grit, though.
I do, too.
I like grit, though, but you got to take two drinks if you hear it tonight. High football IQ. That's also a two-drink minimum. Hard-nosed. Intangibles. Student of the game. Coach on the field. These are the terms that up it from one drink to two drinks. Ah, first guy in, last guy out, lunch pail mentality. Will you hear it in the first 5 minutes of the draft, any of these? Will you already be three shots in?
Oh, yeah, upside for sure.
Comparison to another player, that's two drinks. Three drinks every time John Gruden does this to you. Says, I love this pick, or I want him on my team.
Yes. I want that guy on my team, yeah.
Curses on air.
Ooh.
Could do it. Mentions his quarterback camp. Reads a player's college stats or awards. Finally, three drinks every time John Gruden does this tonight. Says a play name like Spider 2 Y Banana. This is when you have to chug.
Ooh.
Adam Schefter takes a phone call on air. someone slips and says St. Louis Rams or San Diego Chargers.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
That is dangerous.
Oh, that's going to happen.
You hear the words Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, or Deflategate.
Ooh.
This in from Notre Dame asks, am I trying to kill people tonight? No, I am not. Lastly, Mel Kiper screams, Todd! Todd McShay!
Todd!
Yeah.
Yep.
You have to chug.
Oh, man.
So you are
great.
You are in for when Delvin Cook goes, you're going to hear skill set. You're going to hear playmaker. You're going to hear versatility. You're going to hear productivity. You're going to hear character issues. Your beer's gone just on Delvin Cook alone.
Yeah.
Wait till you get to the quarterbacks. Wait till you get to Myles Garrett, who, by the way, is like a turnover-forcing machine in his time at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they suck and only win 8 games? I don't know. I don't get that. They've been a pinata this week. A&M has. But man, I mean, the amount of talent Sherman got there and went into the NFL.
Yep.
Some's translated, some hasn't. Mike Evans been pretty good.
Got developed a little better.
Von Miller's pretty awesome. All right, we'll wind down a draft Thursday on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
T-minus 5 minutes for your NFL draft on many of your Hail Varsity Radio affiliates. Myles Garrett will go to Cleveland and weep. Listen, are they just doomed or will they ever get it figured out? Because it wasn't that long ago, and it wasn't too long ago that the 30 for 30 on Cleveland sports was on. I saw it. Thought it was incredible. But Cleveland and under Schottenheimer in the 80s, if it weren't for Elway and the Donks, I mean, Cleveland could have gone to a couple Super Bowls. They were that good a team.
Yeah, I would say with the Cavs turnaround, the Indians turnaround, the Cubs winning it all, I would say Royals, I would say anything's possible.
Yeah, but this is kind of the ultimate, I told you so.
Oh, for sure.
They just have not done well in a long, long, long time. And they've had so many opportunities. They've had high draft picks.
Oh, so many of them.
Does Garrett do it for you, or are you worried about that A&M tag?
No, I
think of Von Miller. I mean, Denver just kind of went, screw it, let's go best available. We needed the pass rusher back in, what, 11?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sounds about right. No, I think it's the fine, safe pick. I would take him. I'd definitely take him over Trubisky, and it sounded like they were leaning towards him. So I think it's the smart, sane pick for Cleveland.
So here is the thing about Myles Garrett. The guy, I mean, that first step is what they love off the edge. Nebraska had a guy that was just fantastic with it, Mike Kroll.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 pick overall, 91 draft. Just awesome. Similar type dude. So here's what he did. 3 years with A&M. 48.5 tackles for loss. 32.5 sacks. 5 forced fumbles. 36 starts. That's nuts.
It is. How about the other defensive end that we got to see up close as Nebraska fans in the bowl game? Derek Barnett. Would you take him over Garrett?
No.
I mean, he's a first-rounder.
He is, but I think he's more run-stopper in the NFL than and I know he's coming in as an edge guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't my take. This is Russ Landy's take from last week, that his lower body is just – it's built like an interior defensive lineman versus like Garrett's.
An outside guy, yeah.
That has a little more quickness.
Mm-hmm.
So, No, I'm anxious to see how it shakes out, where it goes. And this format does excite you. It's prime time. It's Thursday. It's
one round. It's spread out.
Yeah, it's one round, and you get a chance to kind of soak it in. I think a dude I love, those Malik Hooker for Ohio State. I think he's incredible. I know the LSU safety's gotten a lot of love, but Hooker made so much happen.
And a guy I love is Corey Davis, wide receiver out of Western Michigan.
He's nice. He might be the first guy. Him and Mike Williams.
Yeah. But I'm kind of like Russ Landy. I'm going to be watching the live sports. Like, Russ is going to be watching the NHL playoffs. I'm going to watch the NBA playoffs. But I'll have the NFL draft on the side TV.
You think the Grizz make it happen tonight?
Grizz or tomorrow. I think the Bucks make it. They force a game 7, and I think the Utah Jazz end it tonight.
I want to see Milwaukee move on.
I do, too.
All right. Big thanks to Mitch Holtis, Mojo Hagee, and Andy Hoffman. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity.